Wednesday's Child by Peter Robinson. Read by Neil Pearson. The room was a tip, the woman a slattern. On the floor, a child's doll with one eye missing lay naked on its back, right arm raised. The carpet was stained with ground-in dirt and food. The flimsy orange window curtains needed washing, and high in one corner, pale-flowered wallpaper had peeled away from a damp patch. Detective Chief Inspector Alan Banks noticed DC Susan Gay turn up her nose at a garish painting of Elvis Presley above the mantelpiece. The King was wearing a high-collared, jewelled white cape and held a microphone in his ringed hand. But in contrast to the shabby decor, a music centre in mint condition stood against one wall, and an enormous colour television blared out from one corner. Blockbusters was on. Banks heard Bob Holness ask, "What B is the name of an African country bordering on South Africa?" "Could you turn that down, please, Mrs. Scuppum?" said Banks. The woman looked at him blankly at first, then turned the TV off altogether. Brenda Scuppum was, Banks thought, in her late 20s. Her long blonde hair showed dark roots, she was several pounds overweight, and her pink sweater and black miniskirt looked a size too small. Her full lips were liberally coated in scarlet lipstick, which matched her long, painted fingernails. He lit a cigarette, mostly to mask the peculiar smell of boiled cabbage and nail polish that permeated the room. "When did you first get the feeling something was wrong?" he asked.
"This afternoon, when I phoned and they said they'd never heard of Mr. Brown and Miss Peterson, but they had cards like official."
"What did the cards say?"
"I didn't really get a good look. It happened so fast."
"Did these cards have photographs on them?"
"No."
"What exactly did they say?"
"That they was from the social and they'd come to see about my Gemma. Well, I had to let them in, didn't I? They said they'd had reports of her being, well, abused."
"Did they say where they'd heard this?"
"No."
"Didn't you ask?"
I didn't think to. They seemed so sure of themselves. I mean, he was wearing a suit and she was dressed proper smart too."
"Was there any truth in what they were saying?"
"Of course not. I love my Gemma. I wouldn't harm her."
"Go on then. What did they say next?"
"That they had to take her in overnight for some tests and examinations. If everything was all right, they'd bring her back this morning. But when they didn't come, I got so worried. How could anyone do that? Steal someone else's child?"
Banks saw tears forming in her eyes, but knew there was nothing he could say to console her. In fact, the best thing was to keep quiet about how bloody stupid she'd been. Hadn't she heard about the cases a few years before, when bogus social workers had visited homes all over England with the same story? But then, mostly, they'd simply asked to examine the children in the home, not to remove them. "How old is Gemma?"
"Just 7.
"Where's her father?"
"Terry. Long gone. Good riddance. Left when Gemma was 3. He's in the army. I haven't heard from him since."
"So is there anyone else?"
"Well, there's Les. We've been together a year now."
"And where's he?"
"Where he always is, in the Barleycorn round the corner."
"Does he know what's happened?"
"Oh, why, he knows."
Banks saw Susan look up from her notebook in disbelief.
"Look, Brenda, can you give us a description of this Brown and Peterson?"
"Well, I'm not good with faces, but Mr. Brown had a navy blue suit on and a shirt and tie."
"How tall?"
"Average. Well, taller or shorter than me. I'm 5'9". "Well, the same, about."
"Hair?"
"Black, like yours, but longer and combed straight back."
"How old?"
"I don't know. Around 30, probably, but boyish. Oh, and a nice smile."
By the time they'd finished, Banks had a description of Brown that would match half the young businessmen in Eastvale, and one of Miss Peterson, brunette, well-spoken, nice figure, expensive clothes, that would fit any number of women. He asked for, and got, a recent school photograph of Gemma.